Time to grab that guitar, take a seat, and spin some tales. It's the Pickin' Porch Podcast with Scott Miller from Classic Country Q97.3 99.3. Be sure to tell your friends, subscribe, rate, and review. And now here's your host, Scott Miller.
We're in the studio right now with Robbie Hopkins, and it's the Pickin' Porch. Robbie, I've been trying to get you down here. I'm glad you finally made it down here, you and Donna. So what's been going on? What are you guys playing? What's going on?
Thanks for having us. We've been looking forward to this time to come down and come in and hang out with you on a rainy Saturday.
Yeah, rainy Saturday.
It's a beautiful day for that.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of cool stuff going on, just mostly riding here lately and been playing around a little bit, playing out, I should say. First, we have 14-year-old twin boys.
Whoa.
That keep us busy.
I was
going to
say,
busy,
that's
busy.
Right there. You might as well just give up the music business. You're going to be down there 24 hours a day.
Hey, I'm busier than a one-armed man trying to hang wallpaper. I'm telling you.
Now, do your boys take any interest in your music?
Absolutely. They both play and sing, and they're really good. I mean, they are really, really good. And
well, we get them in a Pickin' Porch here.
Yeah, absolutely. They'd love to come in. Yeah, yeah.
I understand you like classic country. Why don't you favor me with a classic country song?
Okay, let's see. All right, a classic country song. So I know a lot of classic country songs. So when I think of classic country, I'm thinking put you in the trying to think of what vein you should be in. Maybe we'll go to Vern Gosden. How's
that?
Oh,
that's
good. He don't always get. Let's see.
Yeah.
There's a closet full of dresses that I bought you. Here's the key to the new car in the drive. And before you leave our room, put on your best perfume. If you're gonna do me wrong, do it right. Oh, the next time the phone rings, I won't answer. I don't want to be the fool I was tonight. I don't want to know the truth. I don't want to see the proof. If you're gonna do me wrong, do it right. If you're gonna break my heart all to pieces, then walk right out and leave me and let it end all tonight. Take off your wedding band when he takes you by the hand. If you're gonna do me wrong, do it right. Take off your wedding band. If he takes you by the hand, if you're gonna do me wrong, do it right.
Man, I love Vern Gosden too.
I do,
you know,
too, man.
Now you had a chance to play with some pretty big stars, and you know, I would consider, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. I had a lot of really cool success over the years. I see a poster hanging over there with me and Gene Watson.
There, yeah, Gene Watson
and,
over there.
Yeah, that's a that's me on the bottom of that poster when I you guys.
Well, when you get better, you can go to the top of the poster. Not right now.
why is my picture on the bottom of that? I'm just kidding. So yeah, Gene Watson.
T. Graham Brown is awesome,
Graham
too.
T. Graham Brown
isn't he?
Was awesome, too. Yeah, I love T, man. Yeah. He's just a great guy and just got one of the greatest voices, really. That's I don't want to even say it's understated, but, I mean, man, everybody needs to know T. Graham Brown. He is just awesome. Done shows with Randy Houser, Craig Morgan. Just there's a long list of folks we've had the opportunity to do shows with over the years. It's Aaron Tippin, just been a lot of fun.
Well, I'll tell you, many years ago when I had my little band, we had a producer a mentor. This guy's name was Trevor Phillips. He came out of Pittsburgh. And he told me, he said, you know, anybody can do anybody other's songs, you know, a Gene Watson song, whatever. But it takes a real talent to write their own stuff. And I guess you write your own stuff.
I do. I write a lot of my own stuff and have been for years and years and had the opportunity to write with some of the greatest, actually. Late, great Kim Williams, who wrote a ton of hits for everybody. I forget, 20-something number ones. He wrote If the Devil Danced in Empty Pockets,
right.
I Have a Ball in Mine.
Yeah.
He wrote Warning Labels for Doug Stone.
Doug Stone, yeah.
Sammy Kershaw, Haunted Heart. He had hits on Garth Brooks like Ain't Going Down Till the Sun Comes Up.
Well, why don't you give us a little sample of something that you wrote, man? I want to hear some of your stuff.
Yeah, I'll do you one that I wrote with Kim. We were writing one weekend, and I was up at his house in Knoxville. And, you know, you don't go into a song write without some kind of an idea. So
you
got to come prepared, And he always asked me, what do you want to write? So I came up one weekend, and I was telling him, I said, there's an old song called Don't Tell Mama I Was Drinking, I think was the title of the song. And I didn't realize that he had even written that song, but I was telling him about another idea I had about that I'm fixing to tell you about. And he sat back, Kim, and all his wisdom, and he goes, yeah, you know, when we were writing that song, and he started telling a story about it, I said, hang on a minute, you wrote Don't Tell Mama I Was Drinking? He said, I thought that's why you mentioned that. I said, no, I had no idea. But he was a Hall of Fame songwriter and just a great guy. But I had this idea about a guy sitting at a bar. And he was sitting at the bar, and he was drinking, and he was, you know, just the typical country music song, you know, a drinking song. And I said, I can see him looking in his glass, and he's seeing Jeannie in the bottle that he's drinking. Mm-hmm. He can see Jeannie in the bottle. And Kim sat back and thought about it for a second, and he had some other stuff that he came up with, and he said, no, we're not going to do that. We're gonna drive her to drinking. So we put her in the bottle.
Good one, yeah.
This song is actually on my record and titled Lay Me Down, but this song is called Jeannie in the Bottle. Wrote this with the great Kim Williams. Let's see. Teary-eyed, I told him, you see that girl in the corner booth? She tells a sad, sad story. I can tell you that it's true. How a man with wine and roses turned her head and stole her heart. How a match made in heaven went to hell right from the start. Lips had never tasted liquor until I came along. But when Jack Daniels kissed her, she'd never felt so strong. One drink was too many, and 1,000 not enough. And so she crawled into the bottle to be with her new love. And I'm the man who put Jeannie in the bottle, one that poured her first taste of sin. I'm the man who put Jeannie in the bottle. Now I pray
each day I'll find a way to get her out again. I'm the man who put Jenny in the bottle, the one that poured her her first taste of sin. I'm the man who put Jenny in the bottle. Now I pray each day I'll find a way to get her out again.
Wow, I love it. I can hear George Strait singing that song.
You know? Man, thank you. Yeah. Call him up and tell him we need a favor.
Well, he's got a restraining order on me, so I can't touch him. But you know, here's the thing, and I notice when you write songs like that, that song's about real life, man.
Oh, yeah.
And that's my main complaint today with country music. And I mean, I like some of the new stuff. Don't get me wrong. I'm not anti-new music. But they just don't sing about real life, you know?
Yeah.
And when I was growing up, you know, my dad had bought me a $15 Stella guitar. It was just a thing he got from his boss. And I didn't know how to play guitar. I didn't know anything about it.
Right.
And my hillbilly neighbors across the street, the Burkettes, sit on their porch and play guitar and everything. So I took a guitar over there. I said, can you guys tune this up for me? I'm 13, 14 years old, you know?
Yeah.
And they tuned it up for me and everything. And they're playing all these songs. There she goes, she's walking away, and great songs. Yeah. I'm going, I'm listening to Beatles and Stones, which I love, and all of a sudden I'm just taken by these songs that are real life, being drunk, you know, running around on your wife. I mean, these are not good things, they're real life.
They're real life.
Right. And that song, I got the real life message on that song, man.
Well, I appreciate
and
that, man.
You know,
thank
we need
so
more
much.
Songwriters like that because today's songwriters, I'm driving in a pickup truck with a little girl down by the river. You know, that's not real life. Real life is just what you sang about, man.
Man, I appreciate that.
That
Thank
is beautiful
so
stuff, buddy. All right, so how did you get into the music? I mean, did you grow up with it?
I grew up with it. So my whole family, I'm from Middle Tennessee, and my entire family on my mom's side and on my dad's side are all musicians. My grandfather played with, my granddad, Hoover Gilbert, he played with, had the opportunity to play with some of the guys like Lester Flatts and Earl Scruggs. And, you know, and he played the mandolin. He was left-handed, and he played the mandolin strung up like a right-handed person would play.
Oh, man.
But he played it left-handed. So, I mean, he was backwards and upside down at the same time, we used to tell him.
Yeah.
But just around music my whole life. My daddy was a music guitar man, and he traveled all around with a lot of different local bands. And everybody in my family plays some kind of instrument on my mom's side and on my dad's side. My dad was one of 11 kids, and I think every boy and girl in that family plays some kind of instrument and plays and sings. So growing up around that, when I was real young, probably 9 years old, I started picking around on a guitar, wanting to play. And my grandmother, and I stayed around my grandparents a lot here in Dalton, Georgia. And just picked up some old Kenny Rogers and old Mountain Dew. You remember that?
Yeah,
call it that old Mountain Dew. We used to play that old song just to kind of get your foot tapping, strum the guitar, and learn to play, man. And then we just picked up on some good stuff back then, you know. And some of my favorite memories was around just that.
Well, I should tell you when I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, I had gotten in touch with Wayne Burkett, the guy that crossed the street. And we had had bands, you know, when we were growing up and everything. We hadn't seen each other for 30 or 40 years. And I finally contacted him. He was in Oklahoma. And I said, man, you got to get over here. We got to play and all this stuff. So he came, brought his family and everything. We got guitars out, man. And we were going to do some of the old songs. And I tell you, it was almost god-awful. It sounded horrible. And Wayne says to me, he says, wait, I can do better. He said, let me take my teeth out. I can do better. I said, man, we've really lost the edge. Yeah. So you don't ever want to lose your edge like
don't
that,
lose
you know?
Your edge. Yeah. I hear you. That's
but we
good.
Still had a lot of fun. But boy,
isn't it great, though, how music is subjective to the listener?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I mean, we can sit right here and have the time of our lives and think it's great, and everybody else might listen to it and say, man,
what
that's
the hell's
awful.
Wrong with
you
those
know,
guys?
What's wrong with those guys? But that's the great thing about music, man. There's plenty of it to go around. Really, you're talking about that newer country. I get it. I'm right there with you. And then there's a lot of stuff that's in that. There's some stuff in that that's got substance to it. And then a lot of it is just pickup trucks and good-looking girls.
Yeah,
so I get what
nothing
you're
wrong
saying.
With that. But
that's right. But it's good that there's enough to go around. You know, you got some great guys out there right now.
Oh,
you know?
But can you name me one drinking song, a new drinking song?
One new drinking song?
Yeah. Is there any new drinking songs?
I know one. Okay, that comes to mind, but I don't know all the words to it.
No, I'm not saying
play it.
Yeah.
They don't make a drink that strong. So, yeah, that's a song that just comes to mind. My buddy Channing Wilson wrote it, and he's got a new song out right now. They don't make a drink that strong.
He's far and few between, though.
That's right. No, I get it. I get it.
All right. Well, listen, we got time for you to do one more number for me, if you could do that. I'd love to have you do one for us.
Cool.
Your choice.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to do one here. I'll tell you what. I got a show coming up in May, if I can plug a couple shows.
Yes.
I got a show coming up in May in near the Smokies in Kodak, Tennessee, with my good friend. Actually, I'm going to be opening for William Michael Morgan.
Okay.
But my good friend Tony Justice, he's put this program on, and he cut a song that we wrote with Jeff Sylvie and Cody Purvis and Tony Justice and I. We sat down and wrote this song. I had this little melody one time. And this is probably one of the biggest songs I've got recorded right now. And thanks to Tony Justice and thanks to all the trucker fleet out there in America that loves good country music, and they're listening to this song right now, and it's really a big hit for me. It's called Last of the Cowboys. Right across these plains and prairies, rocky mountain highs, fade off into the distance like ghost riders in the sky. Brands smoke and white lines, still horses side by side. It's more than just a living, y'all. It's our way of life. We're the last of the cowboys, the giddy up go boys. 18 wheels on the concrete, it's a slow and dying breed, rolling like Jesse James, a modern day outlaw gang. If you're out here riding with me, come on back and make some noise. We're the last of the cowboys. We're the last of the cowboys. It's a family tradition, diesel's running through our veins. Daddy showed us the ropes, we were born in the fast lane. Branded by our heroes, taught to saddle up and move. We keep this country rolling, we're sure proud of what we do. We're the last of the cowboys, the giddy up go boys. 18 wheels on the concrete, it's a slow and dying breed. Rolling like Jesse James, a modern day outlaw gang. If you're out here riding with me, come on back and make some noise. We're the last of the cowboys. It's a third time generation, a little old school salvation. Blazing trails across this nation, from sea to shining sea. We're the last, we're the last, we're the last of the cowboys. We're the last of the cowboys.
Yeah, I love it, man. That's great. Well, how about just give me a couple of chords here so I can vamp on out of this show here. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to The Pickin' Porch. Special guest was Robbie Hopkins. And, of course, Robbie, you have a website people can go to?
We do, robbiehopkins.com. It's Robbie with a Y, RobbyHopkins.
Okay.
And you can get to all my social media there. You can get to a website, from my website, you can get to Facebook, TikTok, Twitter,
awesome,
and everything,
dude.
On there.
Awesome.
Send emails, buy merchandise.
Yeah, got to have that.
Stay up on everything, yeah. And we appreciate comments and shares and likes and all that stuff. We love all that stuff. So y'all go check us out on YouTube and follow us. And, man, I tell you what, we appreciate you having us here on the show today. And we'd ask everybody to continue to listen into your podcast and keep following Classic Country 97.3. We love this station.
Woohoo! Thanks for joining us for some picking, grinning, and the stories behind the music. It's the Pickin' Porch Podcast with Scott Miller. Don't forget to tell your friends, subscribe, rate, and review. The Pickin' Porch Podcast, heard anywhere you get your podcast, and exclusively from Classic Country, Q97.3, 99.3.